beyond the sky. Will they tell me of a home far away? Will they tell me of a home where the storm clouds rise? Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where my friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of that land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day.
We know, Father, they come from you, and we thank you for it. And Father, for the spiritual things that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, taught us the things you'd have us to know, and died on that cross for our sins. And Father, we're grateful for you, and we glorify you, Father, and we praise you for doing what you have done for us. Father, we are grateful that we are able to meet here this night to worship you. We're thankful for the health that we have, that we can be here. And Father, we're mindful of those that were mentioned here today that are our Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, our friends and our loved ones that are sick. Father, we ask you to watch over them in such a way as they can regain their normal walks in this life. Thank you for the country in which we live. Thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy, the bounty that we have. And Father, we know that you know the state that the United States is in. And we pray, Father, that we as Christians can be an example to those that are around about us, that they might see you in us and understand you and what you're about. And Father, help this nation to go back to worshiping you as it did in the beginning.
Amen.
Father, we are grateful for the men and women that protect this country, for those that are overseas and here as well. Father, we ask you to bless them, keep them from harm's way, and we thank them for the job that they do for us and for the protection they use. We're thankful for the first responders that have worked so hard during this pandemic. Father, we ask you to bless them, and we pray, Father, as things get better, that their lives can be normal and they can get back to their everyday jobs as they work for. Father, we pray for the leaders of this land. We don't know, Father, from where they're going. We don't know where they're coming from. But we know those, Father, they're leaving you out of the decisions that are being made. We pray that they may look to you for help and guidance, and not to man's wisdom. And Father, help them to understand that there's more to life than just the physical things. We pray, Father, that they'll look at their spiritual lives as well. Thank you for the church that meets here at this place. Help us, Father, to ever be here. Father, help us always to do your will. Thank you for blessing us in such a way that we can help others that are around us. We're thankful for the men here that take care of the church business and make the decisions. And Father, we pray for your help and your guidance and every decision that's made for the good of this church. We're thankful for our sisters in Christ, Father, for their encouragement, for their help, and for them being here to stand behind us, and Father, to worship you and to care for you as they do in their lives. We're thankful for Brother Robert and Sister Jane as they work here. We pray that they'll have much success in their work here, and Father, help us to be able to help them in every way that we can, and help us also, Father, to do the work. Thank you, Father, for helping us as much as you do in our lives. But we realize, Father, that in our lives we do sin. We miss the mark at times, and Father, we ask you to forgive us. Strengthen us in our weaknesses. Help us to overcome them in such a way, Father, we can be justified in your sight. Help us ever to know that in our lives that we can sin, Father. Not that we want to, but we do. And Father, we are thankful that you're grateful and your grace covers us and you love us. And if we ask you to forgive us, that you will. Watch over and care for us through this service. We're thankful for the men that work here and do the job. We're thankful for Brother Tom for leading us in. Help us, Father, always to look to you for help and guidance. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. And in his name that we pray this prayer. Amen.
Amen. The song of invitation will be number 6.
This morning, as I was emphasizing remarks made by Simon Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 about according to his divine power, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and how we're to add unto our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love, so that we'll be able to be administered an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I'd like to go back to the statements of Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Because that's a significant part of this adding as a young preacher. We don't know his exact age. A young man at that day and time would be under 30 years of age. Because a 30-year-old would be considered able to go other places, be a part of the temple things and activities like that, the historians tell us. But Timothy was a young man, and he writes to him in these words. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. As a young man, there would be a way of life that he might live that would bring shame to his family and shame to his life and shame to his conduct. It would also bring shame to others with whom he was involved. And so it is said to him, let no man despise your youth. The word despise is a word that is used in the text of the scripture talking about the dangers that are associated in life where there is no idea that there would be trust in that individual. Losing trust. We would think that everything would be kind of set aside for a mistake that's done over here, but it wouldn't be over there, that person's hallmark of life. But what we actually find is this. In our day and time, if someone were speeding down the highway ruthlessly and involved in accidents known by people right and left and all kind of problems associated, would we not also attach that same despisement of that person to the way of life if he were in a home where you had a child being babysat by somebody in that family, and he was in that home? You'd have a hesitation about it. You'd wonder about what's going on here. There would be a despisement of that particular household altogether. When you find that going on in life, it's going to hurt and it's going to harm situations. And then he names six things. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Be there, tupas. A tupas, that form that the Romans had made out of hardened metal, but the softer pouring of melted lead or melted leather would be poured within that tupas. It would have the image of someone, maybe a Caesar, maybe a king, maybe a ruler of the army. It would have an image there posted. And that would be transferred because that molten whatever they put in there would go around the form itself and be within the eyes and the mouth and the ears and the chin of that person in that image. When it cooled off, it would be turned over, tapped on the bottom, and out would come the coin or out would come whatever fixture, and it would there bear the image. And Paul is saying to Timothy, be thou a tupas, be an example of the believer. He wants him to show to others as they would attach their lives with his. Whether they were playing sports at the time, whether they were playing in studies at times, whatever they were doing, his coming in contact with them would place the image of a believer in Christ Jesus upon that person's heart. And that would be an effect upon that person's life. That's the way of life that he says to live. Be thou an example of the believer. Believer following the Lord, following the right way, following him. You be the example. So that as the tupas, you form this image that will be standing. When the person mindful of you and thinks of your name and speaks about you, they'll say, that person is serving the Lord. Person is serving God. That person is serving Jesus. That person is serving the believer's teaching of the Lord's way. That's the way that he says, I want you to be. And then he says, in these six things, first off, by your speech, by your words that you use. If he had grown up and been around a group of folks that had it big in words that they were spoken, the curse word that would be used at that day and time, and they would find that way to be the way of wording, that would not be a good example. That wouldn't be a good tupas to have people to be affected by. but rather be in a tupas in the words that you choose. The kind of words that you choose are words that will be good. Now let's, for a moment in our minds, go back over to 2 Peter chapter 1. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Add unto your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. Think of how many things this particular example of the words that you choose to use would be in the picture of adding these things to our lives so that we would be afforded an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom someday. If we go toward everlasting kingdom and profanity has been largely a part of our way of life, anytime that something is amiss, we use profanity in describing it. It's not going to be a good example, and the Lord's not going to let it into heaven. For plainly it is noted in Scripture that iniquity is to be avoided as we serve God. And that's an iniquity way of life. It's not a way of life that is good and helpful. Let the words of your mouth be an example to the believer. And then he says in conversation, and of course our word conversation in English has come to mean in our day and time, and in this country particularly, a way of life. A conversation is a way of life. One's speech may be in the full way of their life. In other words, that may be all the way through that person's life. Before he goes to sleep at night, he may curse somebody in the family across the room, across the building. It may be that that person is in that whole way of life, and that way of life is not of the Lord. Be an example so that people will have the way of life that you talk about and the way of life that you live to be a trustworthy way of life, a helpful way of life, a way of life so that they could trust you. One of the first jobs that I had at Kosciuszko, we live right next to the golf course, hole number 5. It was a long thing, and it came right by our property. Lots of golf balls picked up by my mom that was over there in that woodland that they didn't take time to get over in that woodland and find and get. And she put them in egg crates. And she had me dozens of egg crates, you know, to play golf with. And I still have some of them. But the way of life of doing that, so that when people are involved with you, instead of wondering about what word will come out of your mouth, what mannerisms of life that you live, live a way of life that is filled with adding unto your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. For if these things be in you and abound, if they really are the things that really come to the surface all the time, you will be given an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. What a good way of life to live in this conversation, this way of life to do. And then he says in charity. The word there, charity, is the word agape, for love. It's the idea of have this kind of love that is God-like. It's God-authored. It's God's way of life. When God sent his son and told him that he was going to be rejected of mankind, that he was not going to be accepted of the teaching of the prophets or the way that he had taught them to live, that he would be put to death, and that on the third day that he was in the tomb, being buried away, he would rise. He believed his heavenly Father vividly. He did not fear what his father had said. Now, the Hebrews writer tells us in Hebrews 5 that he was very, very moved by the pain that was involved in the crucifixion. But not the end result. He knew that going into that grave, he still had the opportunity to come forth. Like no other any time, he came forth. And in the likelihood of being there, God had given him a name that's above every name. That at his name, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. This is the way of charity. Love the brethren. Love others in general. Use the tribute and traits of love in 1 Corinthians 13, where it does all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and never fails a person. To have a wife who loves a man like that, or a man who loves a woman like that, what do they have to fear going out of town? What do they have to fear when they come home? What do they have to fear any time in their relationship one with another? They are loving people. They care about each other. And this is God-like love. This is the love that God himself said people ought to have. It bears, it believes, it hopes, it endures. It never fails. That's the way of life to live as you love. And he says, Timothy, I want you to be an example in your word, in your manner of life that you lead from day to day. The reputation that you have should be a good one, and the love that you have should be evident to everybody. It should be the evidence of God-like love for you. God-like love brought you, your grandmother and your mother, to teach you about me, to prepare you for Paul's arrival, for you to embrace this religion and this teaching. And this is the love that God would have for you and your family would have for you. And this is a way for you to practice a way of life in charity, in agape, in love. Do this. And then he says in word, in conversation, and in charity, and he says spirit, in spirit. It's a little S in that. It does have reference to the Holy Spirit except in the fact that it's a passion and a forgiving disposition. It is the spirit of a mild and meek spirit which is in the sight of God, he said, of great price. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the godly woman whose husband has not been obedient to the gospel is told that by her conversation of life, her mannerisms of life, that he will be persuaded to follow the Lord too. I think I've told you this story before, but it bears repeating again because it's a wonderful thought. But Charles Cole was a part of great work in the Memphis area for many years there at West Memphis, Arkansas. He went over to teach and to work over there and become president of International Bible College there in Florence, Alabama. And I was one of the first people that he called in the days of Ruval, and he said, I want you to come over here and speak on our lectureship program. And I did go over there and speak on that particular occasion and that day. But I heard him tell the story of the woman who obeyed the gospel and her husband made light of her. He did not consider obeying the gospel till she one day, when they were going out on a trip and fishing out in the big, big lake, he said something to her that he knew would stir her up, make her mad as rips, and she would, in his words, knock him out of that boat. into that water. But she didn't. He got to thinking about the way of life she was living. And here it is that the way that she cared about him was a spirit that she had different than he had ever remembered before. Before, they would fight like cats and dogs. And she would fight as well with him as he did with her. But now then, what he said, that he knew he was worthy to be hit by the boat paddle and knocked out of the boat. He was not treated that way. This was the spirit of life by which she was now living. And she was helping him. He came to see Brother Cole after that. And he said, "It wasn't anything that you said, although you told me the truth, and I could read it in the Bible for myself. And I know what I need to do now, be baptized into Christ and begin living this way." But he said, "Let me tell you what happened in that boat." And he told him this story. And he said, "I knew that what she now had was what I wanted to have myself. I wanted to have this spirit." It's a spirit of life that you and I manifest as we talk with others and visit with others. Is it the way of God-like love? Is it the way that it's a spirit that goes with it? It's a genuineness of our heart. We don't just do it to do it. But we do it because it is really us. It's a spirit within us that manifests that way of life. How many people can you think of in this congregation? I can think of a number that back through the years, they illustrated a spirit of godliness. How many places have this congregation through the years supported children's homes, senior citizens' homes, circumstances of gospel meetings throughout the area? Think about their spirit of life, where I was sure that if I went out to Luxahoma and did a gospel meeting, their brethren were going to come from here. They were going to be out there. Their spirit was going to be with them. And what a deal. That's how I knew when Brother Howard Bolden would come out to the gospel meeting every single night. He would be there, he would say the right kind of words, and he'd do the right kind of meaning. And later on in life, when he found that whatever he had that came upon him, that he did not have that wording and he didn't have that way of life about it, I knew that something was changing in his mind and in his ability, and it wasn't his fault. I didn't believe it was his fault. And so it is that I buried him in that day and time. Here's a way of life to live, a spirit. "And in faith," he says, "live your life as an example of the kind of faith that you have. At all times and all trials, show to the believers by your example how that they ought to maintain an unshakable confidence in the Lord." We've got to have that as we make a donation to somebody that's across the sea, somebody that's in another state, somebody that's in a need situation. When we believe that what donation we give as the people of God, as believers in the Lord, carrying that spirit with us, that they will be influenced by it. They'll be influenced by the way that we do. And they will want to come and be a part of that same fellowship. Because we have confidence in the Lord, and that faith that we have is going to be an abiding thing, so that they can have that same kind of faith in themselves, that this kind of faith is the faith I ought to have, this kind of life I ought to live. And then he says, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Once again, let me go back to the passage in 2 Peter 1. Add unto your faith, virtue, and knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. When I have those qualities in my life, will that make me want to be a part of scandal? As the word purity is used in the pages of the Bible, here particularly in the New Testament of the Bible, it speaks of the chasteness of life. How that a person would have nothing in contact with the opposite sex that would give rise to scandal. But it would give rise to understanding and to care and to thoughtfulness. I appreciate the role that Dale Robertson maintains in regard to his old movies, in regard to the company with which he worked in Wells Fargo. Because he demonstrated as an actor the spirit of that company that loved people, cared for people, wanted to have a good strong box, wanted to have it marked and locked properly, wanted to have him to search out the person that had stolen it and taken away money from others that had duly worked for it and earned it and brought it to the Wells Fargo people, and in that they found it. And I really enjoy his acting in that particular role. Dale Robertson. But in the process of that, this is what Paul says to Timothy: be an example, a tupas, in purity, in the way of life that you live. Don't let it be that you take advantage of somebody in a scandalous way, but that you find your relationship with God as appointed by Him to be a life of purity in heart and purity in mannerisms of life. You would not stand for it just a moment, and I would not stand for it either with you, to have a way of life demonstrated that would be immoral. I want to turn my head away. I want to say no, that when we find a way of life that we can follow, that is an example to others. It is a tupas to others. They can form their way of life the way that we talk. They can form that way of life by the way that we live from day to day. In a conversation, a manner of life, they can follow that way of life. Be honest and honorable in everything. If we have a way of life by which they can, in charity and in agape love, have that bound up in their hearts and lives as well, and in spirit, go forth and be an example of God and Jesus in His right way, and tell the good old story of Jesus and His love. What a blessing. And to wrap it up with the idea of being a person in faith in the Lord, by which it is described in Philippians 3 at verse 9, my righteousness is not my own by way of the law, but it is righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And so I want to practice that way of life. That's the way of life to do. And in regard to purity of life, let's live it in such a way that we can honor the way of God in our lives. What a blessing it is to be with you tonight and to tell you these stories associated with this text that tells us that this is a strong way that Paul wrote to young Timothy. As later on Simon Peter would write, according to his divine power, he's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do these things not pertain to life and godliness? They do. God bless you, everyone. Thank you for your good study with me tonight. This song provided, if anyone is subject to Jesus' invitation, please come as we stand and as we sing together.
My sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a one as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of the grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
I don't see anyone tonight that didn't take the Lord's Supper this morning. If you wish to do so again, would you raise your hand? Thank you all for being back here tonight. God bless you, everyone. It's a blessing to be with you. We had a number to our number from last week. We've got 9. That's good. But it's a blessing to be with y'all always, and to do these studies and everything are important to me. And I want to get them presented to you. God bless you.
Turn to number 377, 877, after the song passes, we use some prayer. Now the day is over, night is drawing nigh.